This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. Russia has a higher percentage of people with HIV than any other country in Europe and Central Asia, according to research and official data. The second highest rate of HIV in the region is in Ukraine. The epidemic is driven in part by injection drug use. A Boston University School of Medicine clinician says it's also been fueled by something that's carried over from the days of the Soviet Union, the mistreatment of people with HIV and substance use disorder.
The stigmatization of these people is pervasive, and it's a real concrete problem. It means that people who carry these stigma have a very difficult access to the healthcare sector.
Dr. Karsten Lunze has collaborated for years with scientists from Ukraine and Russia to try to curb HIV rates and help get treatment for people who inject drugs. Now that there's a war between the two countries, Lunze and his colleagues there are afraid their efforts could be in jeopardy.
Our primary worry and fear now is for the lives and the livelihoods of our colleagues and friends in Ukraine who are under constant bombardment and attacks. And then we are, of course, very worried about all of our work.
And they acknowledge the Russian invasion has created a difficult dynamic for the team.
If you consider that you now have partners in the room from Russia, from Ukraine, from the US, in a constellation where one country attacks the other, what are we going to say? It's not our Russian colleagues' fault that one country went at war against the other.
One of Dr. Lunze's collaborators is Tetyana Kiryazova. She's a senior researcher at the Ukrainian Institute on Public Health Policy. Their work together has helped increase access in Ukraine to medications to treat substance use disorder, including methadone and buprenorphine. Kiryazova says Russian military attacks are happening in areas where the medications are made and where people seek help.
We just see the intensive shooting of public health facilities in many regions in Ukraine, specifically in Mariupol, in Kharkiv, in Kyiv. These are large hospitals. And of the two manufacturers of methadone and buprenorphine, one plant is in Kharkiv and another one in Odessa. And the large stocks of these medications were in Kyiv region. So, of course, for those people who have substance use disorder, it's a real disaster because people cannot get access to the treatment.
Kiryazova fled the war in Ukraine and is now in Berlin. BU's Dr. Lunze is also in Berlin with family. Dr. Marina Vetrova is a collaborator in St. Petersburg, Russia. She's a researcher at First Pavlov State Medical University. Vetrova says Russia focuses on abstinence, getting people to just quit drugs outright. And they don't have a choice of medications. Russia only authorizes naltrexone, which research shows is the least effective treatment. And Vetrova says if people want the free care government-run clinics offer, they are put on a list.
When they go and actually seek treatment, they need to be registered as a person with substance use disorder. And it's lead to very negative consequences for their social life. This is exactly why most of the people with even severe substance use disorders, they don't want to go to clinics.
The public health researchers say they have seen more people seeking help after they've taken part in a group therapy the team has studied. The therapy encourages people to address negative feelings about themselves and their struggles. Some of the team's research is continuing, at least for now. Dr. Karsten Lunze from Boston University says that includes collecting data and conducting field interviews with people who are vulnerable.
And that's very astonishing. Due to the dedication of our colleagues in Ukraine, the site in Odessa is actually still enrolling and following up study participants.
That's amazing. It continues because Odessa is one of the targets of the Russian military now.
Unfortunately, it's a strategically important city. It's also been one of our main study sites because it has carried a large burden of HIV in Ukraine.
So if the research is continuing to a certain extent, what is your greatest fear of what could happen from all of this?
My greatest fear, of course, is that the aggressions, the violence, and the attacks are continuing and are further severing the healthcare system and our partners' ability to implement the research. But I also have great hope, and that's something that is inspired by the resilience that our partners in Ukraine have shown, with incredible stress on your family from sirens, from having to resort to a bomb shelter several times a day, spending the night in a basement or in an underground car garage. And in that environment, they have kept the spirit of collaboration and of dialogue, and they have kept their service towards the most disadvantaged in our society.
In Ukraine, that's people at risk from addiction and HIV, and now a war. In Russia, it's people who face addiction and HIV, and now the unknown effect of international sanctions on their treatment options. Dr. Vitrova in St. Petersburg says it's all painful to watch.
We are also human here, so we just feel like very sorry and fear and everything. But it's like we prepare for our like new upcoming project, and we are waiting, is it would be possible to continue or it would be shut down. And while we're waiting, we just feel like our emotions and trying to deal with them.
That was Dr. Marina Vitrova, researcher at First Pavlov State Medical University in St. Petersburg, Russia. We also heard from Tatiana Karyazova, senior researcher at the Ukrainian Institute on Public Health Policy, and Dr. Karsten Lunze, assistant professor at Boston University School of Medicine and director of global health at Boston Medical Center.